finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
Hello, and welcome to Thine Word is a Lamp. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is Minika, and I'm so happy to be with you today as we read and study God's Word.
When you speak, confusion fades. Just a word, and suddenly I'm not afraid. 'Cause you speak and freedom reigns. There is hope in every single word you say.
Focus today is on Psalms chapter 15, and I'll be reading from the Evangelical Heritage Version. So get your Bible out, grab a cup of tea, and let's dive into the reading of God's Word. Psalm 15. Lord, who may be a guest in your tent, who may dwell on your holy mountain? One who walks with integrity, who does what is righteous, and who speaks the truth in his heart. He who has no slander in his tongue. He does not harm his friend, and he does not defame his neighbor. He despises everyone whom God rejects, but he honors those who fear the Lord. When he promises something, he does not break his word, even though it costs him a lot. He does not lend his money to get interest, and he does not accept a bribe against the innocent. One who does these things will never be toppled. God bless the reading of his word. So now let's talk about it a bit. So Psalm 15 structurally is a very simple psalm. It's divided into three parts. It starts with a question, and then it gives the answer, and then it ends with a promise. This psalm was written in the days before Israel built the temple, when the tabernacle, the tent of meeting that Israel used, was in the wilderness, had become a temporary but a fixed place of worship at Mount Zion in Jerusalem. Now, David asked the question in two ways, and each way of asking pushes in a different direction. The question, Lord, who may be your guest in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy mountain? What the question is really saying is, what does integrity look like? The tent here refers to the tabernacle, the portable tent-like place where God took up special residence during Israel's wandering. It eventually dwelt permanently upon Mount Zion, or the holy mountain. The term tabernacle is also synonymous with a place where God is specially and intimately present. His presence was so strong there that not just anyone could enter, only someone truly qualified. And hence the question at the opening of the psalm. Who gets to really be in the intimate presence of God? Yes, God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere and at all times. But here I am talking about his immediate presence, or experiencing his presence. Now, there's a significant progression in these two questions. Guest, in the first question, refers to a temporary residence and suggests a pilgrim mentality. We're guests in God's tent. He's the host, and we're passing through. But dwell, in the second question, refers to a more permanent position. We're making our home with God on his holy mountain. We are not just guests. We are now resident. We are now citizens. This is our home. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, our citizenship is in heaven. So in a modern way, I would put it like this. Almighty Father, who may spend time with you and who may live on the mountaintop with you. David is asking a very practical question. What are the qualifications to visit and dwell in God's house? Now, the Israelites would come to the tent at various times. But the main point here addresses who is qualified to approach the dwelling place of the Lord. God is holy. And to dwell with him, we too must be holy. 1 John chapter 1 instructs us about walking in the light and confession of our sin. And 1 Peter chapter 1 from verses 13 to 17 calls on believers to personal holiness. So are we qualified to approach God on a continuing basis? Now, David answers the question he has asked with 10 characteristics and qualification for entering God's presence. Says one who walks with integrity, meaning he is blameless. He is completely flawless. He is sound. He's not spiritually sick or unclean. It means there's an integrity of mind and heart, of thought and action, of desire and behavior that marks the one who is permitted into God's presence. He goes on to say, does what is righteous. The term righteousness shows that one is in right standing with God and with fellow human beings. Speaks truth from the heart. That refers to honest speaking. What one says should be genuine, should be truthful. Don't say one thing and be thinking or planning another. Our words should be reliable, should be dependable. But it's not just that we must speak in truth, we must speak truth in our hearts. This is about inner speech. And Psalm 14 says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. In other words, David is highlighting our inner speech here. Not just what we say to others, but what we say to ourselves and what we say in secret, because God knows our heart completely. Does not slander. One who spreads stories that hurt someone else, whether the stories are true or not. Whoever spreads gossip is a fool, according to Proverbs 10:18. Do we represent others accurately, fairly, or charitably? Or do we paint them in a negative light? Do we put a spin on things and always spin others to their disadvantage? Do we speak one way to your face and another behind your back? Remember, God hears both. And when it comes to his welcoming you in his presence, integrity of speech about others matters to him. You can't sojourn in his tent. You can't dwell in his tent if you slander with your tongue. He does not harm his friend and does not defame his neighbor. That means he does not injure or cause pain to his neighbor. Instead, he loves his neighbor as he loves himself. Apostle John makes this explicit in his first letter, and he says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he cannot. I'll say that again. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And we can see that in 1 John chapter 4 from verses 20 to 21. So don't damage the character of anyone. Don't taunt, don't scorn, don't abuse, don't ridicule, don't make fun of someone in a way that hurts that person. Let our tongue be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let's do good to our neighbors, not evil. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Despises everyone whom God rejects and honors those who fear the Lord. Here we really need to practice spiritual discernment. A reprobate mind is despised. So here, this person's character and life mark him as one who rejects the Lord in his way of life. The point is that believers need to practice spiritual discernment in such a way that we do not raise up, or we do not honor, we do not imitate those who follow and show off non-biblical worldview and lifestyles. Instead, let's give proper respect to the person who fears the Lord. In Psalm 16 and verse 3, it says, the holy ones who are in the land are glorious. Now, my modern translation of this version is, he who does not celebrate the wicked, but celebrates those who fear God. When he promises someone, he does not break his word, even though it costs him a lot. This has to do with faithfulness, keeping your word, even though it may cost you. And this verse teaches that the person keeps his oath, even when it may cost them something. He makes a commitment to keep it. And we can see an example of that in the book of Ruth in chapter 1. Ruth made an oath to go with Naomi, even though it could have meant her death. He does not lend money to get interest. Now, one is not to burden your fellow man, but rather help him. Loaning money at interest to other Israelites was forbidden. You can see that in Exodus 22 and verse 25, in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 36. If another Israelite needed money, do not loan money and expect interest in return, because that would just add more burden on him. The point here is to help the other person, not to make life more difficult. Does not accept bribe. Do not take bribe. This goes back to maintaining justice. One who perverted justice by taking a bribe destroyed the entire order of a community. So how could he enter the tabernacle that was indwelt by a just God when he was promoting injustice? This also relates to partiality in dealing with people. Are we dealing with people fairly? Are we dealing with people with justice? And then Psalm 15 ends with the promise, the last line, the last verse. It says, and one who does these things will never be toppled. It means this person will never be shaken. The one who lives according to Psalm 15 will be welcomed to the tent and will have inner spiritual stability because of his fellowship with the Lord. My own modern translation of this verse would be, he who does not celebrate the wicked, but celebrates those who fears the Lord, will never be toppled. So what's in it for us? First and foremost, there's an assumption to be made here. David assumes in Psalm 15 that we want to dwell in God's house. He makes that assumption because he doesn't ask the question. David assumes that we want to enter God's presence and dwell there. And therefore, I want to ask this fundamental question. Do you want to dwell in God's presence? Do you want to enter his courts? Do you want to have a room in his house? This is such an important question, and my next broadcast on Psalm 16 will focus more deeply on the glory of dwelling in God's all-satisfying presence. Do you want to? Because if you don't want to, then this psalm is not talking to you. You see, there are requirements of personal righteousness to enjoy fellowship with God and to worship him. The promise says, he who does these things shall never be toppled. He who does these things shall never be moved. If you do all the things listed in Psalm 15 that we have talked about, then you can sojourn in God's tent. You can dwell on his holy hill. You can abide in his presence. And no one can kick you out. If we consider the general character of what we've talked about, then we may be tempted to think that it's easily attainable. But if we're honest, it is not perfectly attainable. My friends, let no one read through this psalm or go through the list and think, oh, I've nailed it all. I've nailed it. I walk with integrity. I always speak the truth. I don't slander. I don't harm my friends. I don't defame my neighbor. I despise everyone whom God rejects. I honor those who fear the Lord. I never break my word. I never take bribe. Don't think you've nailed it all. In Jesus, we see the true worshiper that Psalm 15 describes. Jesus walked blamelessly. He walked with integrity. He walked with a single-minded devotion to God and his house. In fact, the zeal for the house of God, as it says in the Bible, consumed him. Jesus is the ultimate worker of righteousness, not only for himself, but for others. He doesn't just speak the truth. Jesus is the truth. He doesn't slander or do evil to others. Instead, he endured slander and still endures slander and has evil done to him. He's not a fault finder. He's a fault coverer. His love covers a multitude of sins. He loves righteousness and hates wickedness. He despises what is evil and he clings to what is good. He refuses to flatter the successful, and his heart is open to the lowliest of those who fears God. He swears of his own hurt and does not change. He keeps his promises, even unto death on the cross. And when it comes to his wealth, he doesn't expect to be paid back. So the only one really worthy to dwell in the tabernacle is our Lord Jesus Christ. But we as Christians are admitted into the tabernacle because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made righteous in Jesus Christ. No one can approach the holy hill of God except the go through the door, who is Jesus. Jesus opened the way for all believers to the very presence of God. I'd like to close with this final thoughts. The standard for our fellowship with God and with people is Jesus, as we study God's word in the light of Jesus. We must beware of getting trapped into the world's viewpoint of morality, into the world's viewpoint of thinking, of talking, into the world's viewpoint of money and of justice. Yes, we may fail sometimes, but note that the call for us is to strive in the direction laid out in Psalm 15, with all our faith and our mindset. And we can express it as it's expressed in 1 John in chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. God bless you for listening. So if you have a prayer request, you can email me at thineWordIsALamp@gmail.com. thineWordIsALamp@gmail.com. And I will be praying for you. And so we end today's broadcast. Join me next time and have a blessed and most wonderful day. Over and out. God bless you.
Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? Be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay. Finding myself at a loss for words, and the fight.